The legacy you leave on earth will be the culmination of the risks you take, but not all risks are the same. The legacy, that means the legacy you leave on earth, the impact you will have on earth will be a culmination of all of the risks you take, but not all risks are the same. In life, there are three different types of risks we can take. The first risk is the formulated risk. And when we are taking this risk, we are trusting in logic to mitigate fear. We look at our portfolio, we look at our investments, and we take a risk with the highest possibility of success, which is, it makes sense. I like that kind of risk. I'm a logical guy. So I definitely lean towards the formulated risk. The next risk we can take is the foolish risk. When we are taking this risk, we are trusting in ourselves regardless of the fear. Like that guy. Right? He's trusting himself. I mean, I don't know if the cost outweighs the performance, but foolish risk nonetheless, even if he's an expert. So we take, and I know we can all go and see some foolish risks we have taken in life. And the last risk we can take is called the faith-filled risk. And in this risk, we are trusting in God in spite of fear. And so I was doing research for this sermon this week, and I was struggling with faith versus fear. Because everything I read, it said that you can't have faith and fear. You're full of faith or you're full of fear. And I struggled with that because when I surveyed my own life, I find that not to be true. I find that I do have some fear when I'm taking risks. But with a faithful risk, here's what it means. It means that my faith is higher than my fear. The fear doesn't disappear. It just means I trust in God more than I trust in my fear. That's a faith-filled risk, right? Hebrews says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we just heard it. Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. We trust in God for the future, in the midst of the fear in the present. We trust in God for the future, in the midst of the fear in the present. And if we are going to achieve God's purposes that He has for us, we have to take faith-filled risks. My name is Michael Pollock, and I'm the resident church planner here at First Alliance. And today, we're going to finish up our series on the Alliance core values. The last core value says this: achieving God's purposes means taking faith-filled risks. This always involves change. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for all you do. I thank you for who you are. And as we are challenged, by your word, as we're challenged by this call to take faith-filled risks, my prayer is that you talk to us individually today. You talk to us and you allow us to know, where are you leading us? Where are you guiding us? Where are you pulling us out of our comfort zone? Because you cannot be comfortable and take a faith-filled risk. So, Father, we invite your presence here. We invite your spirit here. And, Lord, please bless the preaching and reading of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So today I want to talk about three characteristics that I believe accompany every faith-filled risk. The first one is this: a faith-filled risk is rooted in the fear of God and not the fear of men. Have you ever heard of the names Shifra and Pua? They're only in one chapter of the Bible. Very small section. I haven't heard about them to this. I know who they are when I read the story, but I didn't know their names, Shifra and Pua. We see Shifra and Pua in the book of Exodus chapter 1, and we see a description before we see their names. So Exodus chapter 1, we see that the Israelites are in Egypt and they are thriving. God is blessing them and they are doing well in the land of Egypt. They're doing so good that the Pharaoh said, hey, if we don't control the Israelites, they're going to side with our enemies and take over our country. So let's make them our slaves. But like most things, the more they were oppressed, the more they continue to grow and grow and grow. And here's where we pick up the story. Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, when you are helping the Hebrew woman during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do and let the boys live. That was a death sentence for them. There is no disobeying the Pharaoh, at that time the most powerful man on earth. That was a death sentence. But here's the thing, and here's why I wanted to start with the story of Shiphrah and Puah, because they didn't come from any royal bloodline. Right? They weren't viewed as other people, as special people. They didn't hear the voice of God. They didn't know that the actions that they were doing was going to impact humanity. They were just going to work and being faithful at the job God had given them. We have this notion that God only uses the pastors or the perfect Christians to do his will. But yet, as we open Scripture, we see that Scripture is full of ordinary people doing extraordinary things. That's what Scripture is. But yet, we come to the conclusion that, oh no, I cannot do it because I don't have this special gifting, or I can't speak on stage. But God uses the ordinary to do his work. He loves doing that. And we see it here in this story. Most of the faithful risks that you and I will be called upon will be a result, will not be a result to be a heroes in the kingdom, right? They might not remember our name, but most of our faithful risks will be a product of our everyday activities. That's what God is calling us to do. The legacy that you leave on earth will be a culmination of the risks you take. And as Christian, it will be the culmination of the faith-filled risks we take in life. That will be our legacy. That's what God's calling us to do. Continuing on with the story, Exodus chapter 1, verse 18. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? The midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased more and more, even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them the families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave the order to all his people, every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Shiphrah and Puah made a decision to let the boys live. And one of those babies who they refused to kill carried the name of Moses, who grew up and became the deliverer of the people of God. A faithful risk is rooted in the fear of God, not the fear of men. The next one I want to talk about is that a faithful risk invites uncertainty. In Daniel chapter 3, we see that the Jews are exiled in Babylon. Given many chances to repent, they did not. So God used King Nebuchadnezzar to ravish Israel, Judah at the time, and to bring the Jews to Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar has this dream about a statue. He gets an interpretation about the dream. that the statue will fall over, and then he decides to build the statue anyway. So in Daniel chapter 3, we see that King Nebuchadnezzar, he builds this statue, and he said, at the sound of music, everyone must bow down and worship this statue. But three Jews stood instead of bowing to the statue. Let's start in Daniel chapter 3, verse 12. But there were some Jews. So, and the people talking to King Nebuchadnezzar was the Chaldeans, right? They didn't like the Jews, so this is their telling on them right now, right? They're saying, hey, some of the Jews did not listen to you. So here's their report in Daniel chapter 3, verse 12. But some of the Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods or worship the image you have set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in his inner court, right? Out of the men of Judah, they rose up, and they had some authority, but yet they defiled the king. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. I forgive you. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately to the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, that's the key in this verse. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship your image of gold you have set up. A faithful risk invites uncertainty. It's like whatever happens, if we go into the fire and we die, we're not going to serve you. Our God has the power to deliver us from your hand. It invites uncertainty. And the uncertainty is from our perspective, not God's, right? Because he knows what's going to happen. When we take a faithful risk, we are trusting in the one who is in control and has power over all things. That's who we're trusting in. But that's so hard for us to do as humans, right? It's hard for us to give up the control, or hard for us to say, I'm going to trust someone else over myself, even if this God is hard. But when you take a faithful risk, it invites the uncertainty. So after this comment, Nebuchadnezzar was angry. He said, I'm going to turn the furnace up 7 times hotter. And it was so hot that the people who threw them in the fire died just because it was so hot. They didn't even go into the fire. They were next to the fire. It was so hot, King Nebuchadnezzar's soldiers died. But yet, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego remained unharmed. And in the fire, there was a fourth person in the midst of the fire with them, the angel of the Lord. And he says this after he tells them to come out the fire. This is Daniel chapter 3, verse 28. He says, they trusted in him. This is Nebuchadnezzar talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, they trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than to serve and worship any god except their own. They were willing to give up their lives. And I want to add here that many Christians do give up their lives as they're taking faith-filled risks. Many do. A couple of them on my heart this week was Stephen, the first martyr, in the New Testament. James the Just, the brother of Jesus, pushed off the temple, bashing the head. And for some reason, William Tyndale was on my heart this week. He was known for translating the Bible into English. These men gave up their lives as they were taking faith-filled risks. The third one and the final one that I believe is accompanies every faith-filled risk is that it involves change. Every faith-filled risk involves change. It may be a change in a job or a relationship or a behavior or a circumstance, but it involves change. When you take a faith-filled risk, you will not leave the same way you came in. When you take a formulated risk, maybe you might lose some money here or there. You might gain some money. If you take a foolish risk, you might leave with not an arm if you stuck it in an alligator's mouth. But a faithful risk, your soul will be changed. Your soul will not leave the same way it came in. Take Zacchaeus, for example. He was a chief tax collector, meaning that the way he gained income was to scheme it from other people. That was his job. He was a swindler, legally, as a tax collector for the Romans. And that made him very wealthy. And he was the chief over the tax collectors in that area. But when Jesus came into town, his whole life changed. Let's go to Luke chapter 19, verse 3. Luke chapter 19, verse 3. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, they didn't have to put that in there. That's kind of messed up, man. Man, short kings need love too, right? Come on. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people, this is important, all the people begin to mutter and says, "He has gone to be a guest of sinners." But Zacchaeus stood up and said, "Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man did not come to seek and save. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." And this is very interesting, because in Luke chapter 18, we see the story of the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, "Hey, I've been following the law my whole life. I've been doing everything the law requires. I don't kill, I don't murder, I don't commit adultery. What must I do to be saved?" Jesus said to the rich young ruler, he says, "Sell your possessions to the poor and follow me." And he went away sad. Guy living a righteous life, but could not give over his heart's desire. We see here, next chapter, we see Zacchaeus, a man who lives a life of sin. But when he met the grace of Jesus, his life changed radically. Right? He was not worried about the people around him, and they were judging him. They were judging Jesus, they were judging him. He tuned it out. He also wasn't worried about his retirement plan. He said he's going to give half his income away, and then to anyone who's cheated, which is everyone, four times the amount. He probably got a little bit of interest, but that leaves him pretty broke, earthly wise. But he was storing up his treasure where moths and vermin can't destroy, up in heaven. He took a faithful risk and declared to Jesus that he has changed, and he showed Jesus through his actions, not just his words. And when we take a faithful risk, we're showing Jesus that we are changing through our actions, not just our words. So to sum up, a faithful risk is rooted in the fear of God, not the fear of men. When Janine and I moved to Toledo about a year and a half ago, this was one of our issues we had to go through. We felt the call of God to come to Toledo, a place that I didn't even know where it was at on the map, to be honest. I was like, that's in Ohio, right? Toledo, Ohio. I know that, but I didn't know where it was at on the map. But yet, we had people in our lives who wanted us to stay because it's more beneficial for them if we were close. And we had to choose. Are we going to fear God, right? Have faith in God? Or are we going to bow down to men? A tough decision. Truly was. But we felt like if we did not come to Toledo, we would be disobeying the call of God on our lives. A faithful risk invites uncertainty. It invites uncertainty. I love the formulated risk. That's my favorite type of risk. I like to do the math. I like to know where I'm going. I'm a logical guy. And when God called me to move to Toledo, I said, I don't even know what that looks like. And for the first year, I didn't know what that looked like here. But what got us through was, God, I can't see the end of the road, but you can. And I'm stepping in uncertainty. I'm stepping in uncomfortability. But I trust you over my fear. I trust you. Faith or risk will always involve change. For us, it was changing location, changing attitude, changing our souls, changing the church, right? Visible church did not look like it does now, a year and a half ago, our church plant. God is constantly on the move. He is constantly changing us. And I thank God for that. In what ways is God calling you to take a faithful risk? And it doesn't have to be big, right? We hear this question like, I got to move to Antarctica. Like, no, that's not. It doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be life-changing, but it has to be life-giving. Does not have to be life. I'm going to say it again because you guys didn't hear me. It does not have to be life-changing, but it has to be life-giving. It has to be life-giving. What is God, in what ways is God calling you to take a faith-filled risk? For us, we're still in the midst of our faithful risks. Right? Visible Church, man, a long time coming. Our church plant, Visible Church, we have a launch date. Launch date for Visible Church will be September 18th, 2022. And again, as I was writing the sermon, and it said fear and faith can't live together. I just couldn't believe that because there is still a good amount of uncertainty I have. But in when I compare it to my faith that I have in Jesus, it is actually pretty small, to be honest. But it's there. And I want to acknowledge that because I don't want to come on stage and say, I have no fear. Because that's just not authentic. And I can't be fake. I do have fear. But I trust God more than my fear. Our website is live, visibletoledo.com. Check it out, guys. Still in the early stages, but it is live. And I want to tell you just more about some faithful risks we are taking in this current moment. July 10th, we're going to start to meet every Sunday at 4 p.m. So a lot of people are saying, hey, are you guys meeting yet? Are you guys coming together? What's up? July 10th, in the summer. We're starting in the middle of summer. We're going to come together. We're going to pray. We're going to see where God is leading us to go. So we're going to meet every Sunday at 4 p.m. Location still to be determined, but we got a couple good places in mind. So faithful risks. If you want to be a part of that, go to visibletoledo.com and click Discover Your Part on the website. Discover Your Part. That'll bring you to a form. Fill out that form, and I will get in contact with you if you want to be a part of those Sunday evening gatherings. So for me, this is my biggest faithful risk, and I'm going to be raising my own financial support. And now, for me, that is super uncomfortable. I like to work. I like to make my own money. I don't like to ask people for money. I just don't. But God asked me this question. He said, Michael, are you going to be faithful or are you going to be comfortable? Right? Because me being comfortable is going to work and making my own wage. But am I really being all in to what God's calling me to do with this church plant? Right? Am I being all in? And I had to say, no, God, I'm not being all in. I'm giving you half my time, a quarter of my effort, because I'm doing other things that you have not called me to do. So here's our plan. Here's our plan. We're asking for 70 people to be a part of our two-year support raising plan. We're more than 70, you know. But here's how the numbers broke down. We're asking for 10 people to give $10 a month for the next 2 years. We're asking for 20 people to pledge $50 a month for the next 2 years. We're asking for 40 people to pledge $25 a month for the next 2 years. And one-time, I don't know why there's a question mark there, but one-time donations are an option as well. If you say, hey, I just want to give one time. And again, if you go to visibletoledo.com and go to donate, you can donate right on the website. It's all set up to give. But I wanted to say this in my sermon. I wanted to preach this because this is me taking a faithful risk. This is something that I'm just not comfortable doing. But again, am I going to be faithful or am I going to be comfortable? And I'm just done being comfortable. I'm done living a cushy Christian life. I want to be faithful to what God has called me to do. Another faithful risk is I'll be going to Mongolia next year as well. If you don't know, Mongolia is a country in between China and Russia. So great time to vacation there, right? But as a part of my, I'm in a program called LEAD, and it gives me my Bible credits to become an ordained pastor. I'm on my way to be ordained. But in that program, we have to take a missions trip. But in our cohort, we have a couple who are in the cohort because God has called them to be international workers. And they want to work in Mongolia. So when we did the math and we did the numbers, we saw that it's going to be $5,000 per person to go to Mongolia. So as a group, we said, you know what? We can go on a trip for half that price somewhere else in the world. You know, you guys go to Mongolia and we will just go somewhere else and check off our requirement to go. Because I was like, man, my formulated risk, that made sense logically. But that night, when I was praying, I felt convicted. I felt convicted because I was not taking a faithful risk. And I was doing something that I think that when God calls us, he calls us in community. We don't see a Lone Ranger Christian just go and do things. He calls people in community. So when we got with the cohort next time, I said, you know what? I know it's double the price. I know it's $5,000, but I believe we can do it. I believe that we can raise that support. I believe we can raise that money because God is calling us to be a part of each other's lives. Not just to come in these cohorts, not just to do it once a month, but to support people as they're moving towards the call of God. So we're going to Mongolia and I got to raise $5,000. Just a little bit about Mongolia, just so you guys know a little bit of the context. For almost 7 years, Mongolia was under socialist rule and considered one of the most unreached countries in the world. In 1990, it was estimated that there were only known Mongolian believers, all living outside the walls of Mongolia. As the country opened up, many people responded to the good news through evangelistic Christianity today. Today still hovers less than 2% of the total population are saved in Mongolia. So the need is great there. The CMA set up an organization called Kingdom Leadership Training Center, and that was established in 2009. The KLTC has unique educational philosophy that is student-centered, allowing students to learn from one another and immediately apply to the local context what they are learning. And we have representatives there. Their name is Mark and Cindy Wood, have served in Mongolia since 2008 and are currently the leaders of the Kingdom Leadership Training Center. And these are the people that my friends Katie and Daniel, they're going to be apart when they move to Mongolia. So that's the call. And I want to ask you this question as I close. The worship team can come back up. Are you going to be comfortable or are you going to be faithful? That's just the question. Are you going to be comfortable or are you going to be faithful to what God is calling you to do? Because we all have a calling here. We may think we're done, we may think we're older, but man, we still have a whole lot of life to live. And my biggest regret is I don't want to get to the gates of heaven and be in heaven for 2 seconds and say, man, I wish I did more to bring more people here. That's my biggest regret. I don't want to be like, man, I wish I took more faithful the rest of my life. I wish I wasn't so conservative. I wish I trusted God more because paradise is beautiful. Are we going to be faithful or are we going to be comfortable?